VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Crosstalk here on VCY America. All I have to do is mention the word Afghanistan, and many horrible, terrible pictures will come to your mind. I mean, we think of the Taliban taking over the country, seizing U.S. military assets. We think of the Christian persecution underway. We think of the Americans that have been left behind. We think of the tragic loss of life of brave U.S. service members, not only in years past, but most recently in a suicide bombing. I mean, there are many troubling pictures that go through our mind. You may wonder, how could anything positive occur when the trials are so intense? Is God asleep? Is he not aware of the plight of so many? Today we want to open your eyes to see that despite all that's taking place, that God is at work. Joining me in studio today, we welcome Michael Girmi. Michael is a former Muslim. He was born in Iran into a Shia Muslim family, found faith in Jesus Christ, now proclaims the gospel to Islamic nations. Michael, good to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
Good to be here with you.
Michael, many are right now living in fear of the Taliban. And before we get into what God is doing there, help us understand, who is the Taliban? What can you tell us about them?
Well, this group are formed about 20 years ago, obviously claiming Islam. They want to rule the country and take over the world eventually, because that's why that's what Muhammad commanded them. The Islam commands, you know, Quran says that Islam will dominate the world. So they try to take over not only Afghanistan, but the world, and claiming the verses from the Quran and also Hadith. And well, obviously, they're, you see what's happening in Afghanistan. The Taliban took over, going door to door looking for Americans and Christians and young girls. Why do they do that? Well, for example, looking for young girls in Quran chapter 33, verse 50, the Quran says, "Slave girls whom Allah has given you as booty." Slave girls. So when Muslims fight for the cause of Allah and Islam, they try to have slave girls so that they can meet their sexual needs. And that's wicked, we know that. But that's their God. Allah gives them permission to have slave girls. And they're looking for girls over the age of 12 so that they can have their sexual needs meet. And also why they're looking for Christians to kill them. Why? Because we read in Sahih Bukhari in volume 4, book 55, number 657, it says, Allah's apostle said, that means Muhammad said, "By him in whose hands my soul is, surely Jesus, the son of Mary, will soon descend amongst you and will judge mankind justly. He will break the cross." This is what Islamic Jesus will do. He will break the cross and kill the pigs. Who are the pigs? That's Christians. Pigs in Islam is unclean animals. And so they call us pigs. He's going to kill the pigs, and there will be no jizya. Jizya is taxation. That means they won't be any infidels in the world that they could take taxations from infidels. That means it's going to destroy Christians.
You know, this is very interesting, because right now we're talking about establishing diplomatic relations with the Taliban. How can we do that when they consider us to be but pigs, but they consider us to be the infidel, and they want to take over the world? I mean, it's hard to establish diplomatic relations with somebody like that.
Well, Quran says that true Muslims should not have Christians as their friends. So they are following the Quran, and they're not going to establish friendship and relationship with you. If they did, that's going to be with deception to abuse Americans. And
Takiya.
Yes, Takiya. Mm-hmm.
So we have the Taliban. Now, they are known for a very strict interpretation of Sharia. What does that really mean? I mean, that means the persecution of women? That means the takeover and so forth? Does Sharia have other connotations as well?
Yes, exactly. That's what Sharia is, the Islamic law. You know, we have 10 commandments in the Bible and the law of God, but they also have the law called Sharia. And in Sharia, it's very cruel. The Sharia law is not merciful. There is no mercy in Sharia. And there is a lot of discrimination in Sharia law. And women have half right of men in Islam. And when a father leaves inheritance for his children, women get half portion of the inheritance. A man gets one portion, women get half a portion. So there is no equality in Sharia. And if you commit adultery, you'll be stoned to death. So there is no mercy, absolutely. In Islamic countries, especially in Afghanistan, they practice this. In Pakistan, they practice it. They stone women to death, those who commit adultery. So that's Sharia. There's no mercy.
So when the Taliban is saying to the United States, there will be no revenge, do you believe that?
I don't believe that. No, they don't believe in... Allah commands them to fight. For example, I'm going to read the verse from the Quran. In Quran chapter 2, verse 216, fighting has been made obligatory upon you believers, means upon Muslims, though you dislike it. Perhaps you dislike something which is good for you and you like something which is bad for you. Allah knows and you do not know. So fighting is obligatory for Muslims. And that's why they try to fight, and that's called jihad, holy war, for the cause of Islam, to advance Islam. They have to fight. They have to take revenge of infidels. As I mentioned in the Sahih Bukhari, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to destroy the cross and kill the pigs. So that's revenge. That's what they try to follow, that those teachings.
And until that time, such deception is going to take place. We want to be your friend until they have the upper hand, and then it changes there.
Yes, and Allah is the best of plotters, according to Quran. He's the best of plotters. He plots, he deceives. So if Allah is that way, if Muhammad deceived so many people, Muslims try to follow their examples, Allah and Muhammad, and they try to tell lies and deceive in order to advance Islam.
So what we see occurring in Afghanistan right now is not a strange situation to you, because this happened in your home country of Iran as well. Compare what happened in Iran to what's happening in Afghanistan.
Well, Afghanistan is going through the same situation that Iran went through. In 1979, we had Shah. Shah is the king. He was the king over Iran. And in his time, Iran had good relationship with America and with the West. And Iran was a prosperous country. And we had freedom and democracy. But when Ayatollah took over and he promised everything free, I'm going to give you freedom of religion, free education, free medication. He promised everything free, because that's what Taqiyya is, and they deceive. And when he took over, nothing was free. In fact, he destroyed our country, and our country has been going down since 1979, and it's so bad. Situation in Iran is very bad. People are starving, and because of the sanctions and everything that we received, just people are struggling financially, and it's so bad. Islam destroyed, because Ayatollah came, he brought this radical, the true Islam, and because of Islam, it's been destroyed. And now Afghanistan is going through the same situation. They also had a king from 1933 till 1973. They had a king and queen over the country, and they had good relationship with America. In fact, in 1963, the king of Afghanistan came to America when John F. Kennedy was the president of America, and they welcomed this king and queen of Afghanistan so warmly, and they took him to many places and showed him around, and people were just so excited to see the king of Afghanistan. It was just glorious. You can see the video on YouTube, how they welcomed him. So we had good relationship with Afghanistan, America had back then. Why? Because there was a king there. He didn't rule according to Sharia law. there was democracy. But when Islam came, the radical in the Taliban and ISIS and all the radicals came, and they tried to destroy the country, and Islam brings destruction. That's what Jesus said. He said, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what exactly Ayatollah did in Iran, and that's what Taliban is doing. They steal the national resources. They kill people, and they destroy the country. That's what Jesus said. But he said, I am come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. Amen. He gives life. Jesus, the true Son of God. But the false religion destroys, steals, and brings poverty and destruction. Mm-hmm. And we thank God for Jesus Christ, and thank God for churches in America and in the West that are still open, proclaiming the gospel. Because of that, we still have freedom. And if we don't preach the gospel, we're going to lose that freedom that comes through the word of God. And Jesus said, if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed.
Now, you reference this and use the term radical Islam, and then earlier you said this radical Islam is true Islam. That is one of the cases, and many times in the media we said, they were radicalized, but that really is the true nature of what Islam is.
Yes, it is. As in fact, I read a few passages from the Quran even, you know, fighting is obligatory, and slave girls whom Allah has given you as booty. Isn't that what Taliban doing, looking for girls? Why do they do that? A lot of Muslims say, oh, they're not true Muslims. Because true Muslims should be good people. They shouldn't kill. They shouldn't take girls. That's wrong. Yeah, of course it is wrong, because many Muslims do not know the teachings of the Quran. They read it in Arabic. They don't understand it. But these people, anytime when a person reads the Quran and when he understands what Quran teaches, they'll join Taliban. They'll join ISIS, because that's what Quran teaches. And
very interesting. Michael Girmi is with us today. He is a former Muslim, born into a Shia Muslim family. And are you kind of puzzled at times why women's rights groups in our nation are not speaking out against this? I mean, they're rather quiet, or the women's rights groups here in the United States.
You mean like Muslims?
Women's rights groups, such as those that are like the National Organization of Women and Planned Parenthood, who seeks women's rights and so forth, but they are rather silent on what's going on.
They should read the Quran and learn, see how Islam discriminates the rights of women.
We're going to take a break here shortly. In our next segment, we're going to learn what God is doing in Afghanistan despite all this. But I saw a story in the Business Times last Friday that indicated the Taliban has said it will ban music in public in Afghanistan because it's forbidden Islam. Would you briefly comment on that? Music being forbidden?
Yes. In fact, same thing happened in 1979 in Iran. When Ayatollah came, we had a lot of singers singing, like pop music, and they had to leave because Ayatollah said same thing. He said music is haram, means illegal according to Islamic law, and you have to ban music.
Wow.
So a lot of those singers fled the country.
And folks, we're going to take a break here. So despite all of this tragedy, all these circumstances that are going on, what is God doing in Afghanistan? We'll be back with more on this topic after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when the Ice Age happened, was the Earth just covered in snow, like one big snowball?
Not at all, Chris. But there is a lot of evidence that the ice sheets, which started up in Canada, did come down into the U.S., but they didn't cover the entire globe at all. Actually, the Ice Age wasn't a time of bitter cold either. The summers were probably colder, such that the ice and snow which fell during the winter did not melt. But the winters were probably warmer on average than today. Today, if it gets really cold, it doesn't snow much because the cold air can't hold much moisture. The warmer the air, the more the moisture, the more the snow. And that's what's needed for an ice age. Just such a combination of factors would have happened right after the flood, essentially caused by the flood. By the way, that's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
For more on the foundational principles set forth in Genesis, visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Michael Girmay with us here today on the broadcast, a former Muslim born in Iran in a Shia Muslim family. He has been on Crosstalk before sharing his testimony, and we'd encourage you to go back into our archives at crosstalkamerica.com and put in his last name, Girmay, G-E-R-M-I. You'll find that interview there. And even we were just talking about music just a bit ago, being banned in Afghanistan by the Taliban. It was banned in his country. And that was something that actually helped draw you to Christ, was when you went to a church and you heard that music, and what a difference that was for you.
Sure. Well, in Iran, as a Muslim, we have to go to mosque and cry to beg Allah to have mercy on us. In fact, we were told that for each drop of tear, Allah will give us a land in heaven. Mm. So they encourage you to cry, to beg Allah to have mercy. They don't even pray to Allah. Usually Muslims pray to different people like Muhammad's successors, like Hassan, Hussein, Ali, Fatima, that they would be our mediator. They would take our prayer to Allah so that Allah would forgive us. So we had to cry so that Allah can have mercy on us. But when I went to church in Australia, and I noticed that these people, these Christians, were singing and rejoicing, and it was just amazing to me. When I heard that, I loved it. I'm like, what is going on here? Why do they sing? Why are they rejoicing? And I noticed that God's word, the Bible, commands them. For example, in Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, not with crying, but with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not ourselves, and we are his people, and so on. So he says, joyful song. You know, you have to sing unto the Lord and be glad. So any good father would want his children to be happy, not to cry. So God is our Father, and he wants us to be happy, to sing and worship with gladness. And I loved it. I saw that people were so rejoicing and happy. I knew that they have something that they're rejoicing for. And later on, I noticed that they had Jesus in their heart. Jesus had changed their lives, and Jesus had forgiven their sins, and Jesus had given them eternal life, which we don't have it in Islam. We try to do good, we try to pray, and do everything to be able to please Allah, that he might, we don't know, but he might have mercy on us to give us eternal life. But we don't know it until we get to heaven. But Jesus has given us eternal life, and we can rejoice and sing.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's talk about what God is doing in Afghanistan. And I know Muslims right now are contacting you. And before we talk about the reasons why they're contacting you, how are they discovering you? How do they know about Michael Girmay?
Okay. Well, so many people are just desperate to flee the country because of the situation in Afghanistan, and Taliban took over, and people are desperate. Obviously, we heard that last night the airport was taken by Taliban, as well as less American troops left the country, and Taliban took over the airport. Now, airports are controlled by Taliban, and people can flee the country through the air. And so some people, they go online looking for a way to flee the country, to get visa for American visa or any country. So they look for some community overseas. And there's a missionary called Bill Flowers. He's a friend of mine. Bill Flowers, he used to be a missionary in Morocco preaching the gospel to Muslims, and he was kicked out of the country a few years ago. Now he's in Dearborn, Michigan, and we have developed a website called Besharat Enjil. Besharat means proclaiming good news. Enjil means the gospel. So besharatenjil.com is the website that we developed. We uploaded some gospel messages as video and PDF, and also we just have a text right at the main page saying, have you been threatened for being a Christian in Afghanistan? We can help you. So I have listed my WhatsApp number, and people have been communicating with me through WhatsApp. They send me text messages and phone calls, and it's been overwhelming. I receive like at least 50 phone calls and text messages every day. And so many people are just desperate. They try to flee the country. Muslims are calling me Christians are calling me and Shia Muslims are calling me because they all have been threatened by Taliban. For example, one man, he sent me a text. He said, "Greeting, dear sir. Hope you are doing well. I'm under the threat due to the current crisis of Afghanistan. Can you help me?" And this was a Muslim. And a Christian sent me a text and he said that he's been Christian for 2 years watching a satellite Christian station called Sat7. He's been watching Sat7 and he has heard the gospel and he has converted to Christianity. And he said he is under the threat. Can you help me to flee the country? Another man said, "Hi, I am on the verge of death in Afghanistan because of my Christianity. Will you help me to leave the country?" So many people. And then I'm going to read a few people what they said. One man said, "I want to convert to Christianity. Can you guide me?"
Wow.
I said, "Yes, I can guide you. Praise the Lord. I can guide you to be a Christian." So people, even they see that our website is a Christian website and they are desperate to flee the country. They are willing to even convert to Christianity to be able to flee the country. And one Christian sent me a text. He said that he's a Christian. And he said it's been 2 years as well that he converted to Christianity. And his father-in-law was killed because of his conversion. And also probably his father-in-law got saved as well. So his father-in-law died for his conversion.
You recently also told about on a video that you recently produced about an 18-year-old girl who contacted you. What can you tell us about that situation?
She called me once, and she got my number, and she wanted to talk to me. She said that she's 18 years old. She said, "I have a brother who's 17, and I have a sister who's 13 years old, and I have my parents, so five of us. Would you be able to help us to flee the country?" And I was so burdened for this girl because I know that Taliban, they're looking for girls over the age of 12, and she's 18, and her sister is 13. That means they're going to be taken by Taliban, and they'll be abused sexually even. And so I said, "Yes, I can help you. I have a friend in Tajikistan who's a Christian, and he serves the Lord there. He reaches out to Afghanis." And I spoke to him. I said, If I can help this Afghanis to cross the border to come to Tajikistan, can you help them to be in the UN camp and to apply for a visa and teach them Bible and reach out to them?" He said, "Yes." So I said, "I have a friend in Tajikistan. He'll be able to help you. I'll be able to help you to go to Tajikistan, and from there, you might be able to come to America." She said, she begged me, she said, "For humanity's sake, would you help me?" And I said, "I can help you according to humanity, because in the human flesh, there is no good things. I'm selfish, I'm a sinner, and I can help somebody who's in different country, you know, in the flesh. But I can help you because I am commanded. God has told me to help and love my neighbors and even love our enemies. So I'm going to help you, but also I am commanded to share the good news with people. So I'm going to share the good news with you, tell you about God's word, and I'm going to help you to flee the country if it's God's will." And when I mentioned that, she got angry. She said, "No, I'm a Muslim. I don't want to convert to Christianity. I don't want to learn the gospel. The gospel, the Bible is corrupted." So she hung up. And after 2 days, she called me back. She said, "I spoke to my parents, and we are happy to convert to Christianity. Can you help us?" I said, "Okay. That sounds like not good motivation, but God can use that opportunity that to save her." And that's what happened to me as a Muslim. I went to church to abuse church, to get something from church, but I saw the light. I know how powerful the gospel is, and gospel can save souls because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And she has joined my class. It's been like three, four times so far. She has been joining my class. And even today, just before this program, she was in the class and I taught about the Bible being preserved, not being corrupted. Even I went through Quranic verses from the Quran and from the Bible, and also historical evidences that the Bible is not corrupted. And she listened to everything. She never criticized or didn't say anything, didn't oppose God's word. So that's exciting that God is taking this opportunity in Afghanistan, turning it into good, and people are hearing the gospel.
I know one of the things that you have pointed out is the passage from Luke chapter 12, verse 5, "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." So you're indicating that, yes, you fear the Taliban, but who can destroy your physical life, but you need to fear the one who could send you to hell for your refusal of trusting Christ.
It's lost souls, they don't know God. They don't know that there is a way to go to heaven. So they are just worried and stressed out, and they are desperate to rescue their bodies from possible death that the Taliban's might kill them. But sadly, yes, Jesus forewarned us. He said, fear him that is able to kill your body and also your soul in hell. Fear him. Yes, we have to fear God, definitely. And I pray that these people, as they hear the gospel, that they would fear God, that they would have right motivation to come to God and get saved.
So you are actually organizing conference calls as well, correct?
I do. And in fact, first conference through like Skype and Google Meet, I had 17 people joined in. And second time I had 32 people joined, and they heard the gospel, which I'm praising the Lord. You know, Afghanis are so hard to reach. They are so zealous. They have great zeal towards Islam and Allah, and they block their ears, and they don't want to listen to the gospel because they've been constantly told that the Bible is corrupted. The gospel is that we have today, the Bible is not the true, genuine Bible. It's been corrupted. But God is using this opportunity, and they hear the gospel, and the faith comes by hearing. I pray that they would be open and get saved.
And certainly that is the prayer, and you're holding these online teaching opportunities on a regular basis then.
Yes, I have taught four times last week, and today I had another fifth session I had with the Afghanis, and it's amazing that God changes, turns every evil things into good. That's how our God is. You know, Satan, he thought that he was smart to kill Jesus, to put him on the cross. He thought that he was able to destroy and conquer Jesus Christ, not knowing that Jesus Christ will be different. And when he came out of the grave, he was probably watching. Satan was watching Jesus coming out of the grave, and he was so disappointed to see that one man in history came out of the grave and he conquered sin and death and hell. And praise his name that he conquered Satan. And as we have that promise in Genesis 3:15, and Satan is disappointed now. God turned that evil acts of Satan into good. And because of Jesus' death, the eternal life is received through faith in his name. And Apostle Paul as well. Apostle Paul was in prison, and he was preaching the gospel. Because of preaching, he was persecuted and imprisoned. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, we read, he said, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Furtherance of the gospel. Yeah. Because of my imprisonment, this happened for the furtherance of the gospel.
Yeah, so indeed. So that as bonds in Christ, we saw that the gospel furthered throughout the palace, and many heard. Folks, we're going to take a quick break here. You're going to hear further testimony what God is doing in Afghanistan. Stay with us. This is Crosstalk.
Throughout history, most nations have been ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person, however, often rewards his friends and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king the planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. So how do republics rise and fall? How do countries succumb to communist dictators? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America?, written by William Federer. You will discover what makes America unique and the keys to preserving our freedoms. Who is the King in America? Is available for a donation of $18. A DVD of Bill's teaching on the same topic is also available for $18, or if you'd like them both, a donation of just $30. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. And friends, we see all the tragedy around us taking place in Afghanistan. And we'll be talking more about the things that are going on politically speaking, but also understand that God is at work, as our brother was just saying here. But I would you should understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me have fallen out to, rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So we know that the gospel was actually furthered as a result of the persecution that the Apostle Paul, he saw that was going all throughout Caesar's household. And many of the brethren in the Lord also were waxing confident by his bonds, much more bold to speak the word without fear. That's what we're told in Philippians chapter 1. And some may have asked here, Michael, with all that's happening in Afghanistan, has God made some sort of mistake? Is God in error here?
He never makes mistake. In fact, in Ephesians 1:11, we read that God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
Yeah.
Nobody can teach God some wisdom. We can't give him counsel. He knows everything, and he always works according to spiritual sides. He knows that Afghanistan and people in Afghanistan are going to hell without Jesus Christ. He knows that many Muslims are blinded and they go into hell. And he has provided this opportunity for us to reach them, that they would hear the gospel. But also the Lord has turned that evil things in Afghanistan into good, that we Christians in America are ready to reach out to Afghanis. And I have received so many phone calls and text messages from pastors in America, from just individuals, from churches, and they are ready to help Afghanis. I'm like, this is overwhelming. This is amazing. Because in Iran, I grew up cursing America. We would say, death to the great Satan, America, and death to the little Satan, Israel. Grew up cursing America and Israel, but not knowing that when I came to America, I noticed that Americans are praying for Iran. They are praying for Afghanis. They try to help them. You see, I was cursed with Islam. Islam had a curse in my life, but the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up that curse from my life, and I've been blessed, and I bless him Amen. And his name for the change, great changes that he wrote in my life. And so he never makes mistake.
Amen.
He turns that evil in Afghanistan into good. And people in Afghanistan, I'm just one man. There are many Christians in America and in different countries. They are reaching this Afghanis inside the country through online or in different ways. They are reaching this Afghanis. We don't know. When we get to heaven, we'll see how this evil act, this evil that is happening in Afghanistan, it was actually good for the good of people in Afghanistan, for their spiritual life. And many people, I believe, that will get saved because of this Taliban taking over. God is not making mistake. He's turning it into good. I can see it before my eyes.
Yes, and right now we're going to introduce you to another dear brother who is also ministering in the region. We're going to welcome, this is an alias, Jakub Kuznetsov. He's been actively involved as a missionary in evangelism some 35 years, the last 16 in outreach to Muslims. Jakub, thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Again, we're mentioning this is an alias in order to protect your ministry that's going on, but you're also involved in this region. Tell us through your eyes how you see God at work in Afghanistan at this time.
All right. One very important thing to remember is that in the midst of the battles, the battle still is the Lord's. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And ultimately, God walks off the field with the honor. We're seeing so many Muslims coming to faith in Jesus right now, and this is what we've been. You know, we haven't been praying for the death and for the misery, but we've been praying for the doors of the gospel to be blown wide open. And certainly, our soldiers did a tremendous job of preparing that ground for the gospel to be received. And they're thirsting, hungering and thirsting after righteousness.
Well, tell us some of the things that you've observed. How is the gospel being furthered as a result of what's taking place in Afghanistan right now?
Okay, what I see is they are so sick of terrorism, so sick of bloodshed, so sick of war, sick of beards, sick of rule, sick of Islam. They are searching for the truth. We've got to be getting that truth over to them. We've got to be using social media, like Brother Michael, what a wonderful man, to God's place this tool in our hands, use it. We don't even have to know the language in a lot of cases. But I'd like to share one testimony if I could.
Sure, please do.
We had a refugee cross the river and come into Tajikistan. We've got some very active Afghani believers that we've been working with there, and right now they're distributing food, clothing to refugees, helping them get documents, helping them get placed for places to live. And they came across one man, and they said, "We want to share with you about our Jesus." And his face lit up, and they said, "Are you a believer?" He said, "No." And they went and sat down, had some tea, and they found out that this man was just wanting to know more and more about Jesus. By day three, they had led him to faith in Jesus Christ, and he began to open up. He recounted how he was a Hazara, which is a Shiite, and his cousin had come to faith in Jesus through the internet last year, and the Taliban killed him for his faith in Jesus Christ. Here, as he was being martyred, he cried out, telling everyone around that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father but by him, that Jesus is more than a dead prophet. He is the Son of God, the creator of the world, the Savior, and that his love would change their lives. And his cousin heard that, and after he had trusted Christ, he said, "For this entire year, that's what's been going through my mind, and I've been praying, seeking to find the truth." And we know that the promise of Scripture says, "If you seek, you shall find." And he was rejoicing as he trusted Christ as his Savior. And last week, he begged us to be baptized. He said, "My life is so short. I want to show Jesus how much I love him. I want to follow in baptism."
What does that mean when somebody follows in baptism? What happens to a person in Afghanistan who publicly identifies as a Christian?
Well, they're being put to death very rapidly there. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people betraying their own family members. The Taliban comes through and they ask if they know anybody who is a Christian. And out of fear of their own lives, of their own families, they're turning over family members, and they're just being slaughtered.
So, Michael, even as you interact here with Jakob, I understand that this means a very dear price for those who are following the instruction that you're given to them, that this is something that is putting their life out on the line by their acknowledging they're following Jesus Christ.
Do you know that it's not easy to follow Jesus Christ, and there is a risk of being put to death, but obviously some of them don't want to convert to Christianity. They just want to rescue their bodies, but some of them are genuine. They want to come to Christ. And one man said to me that he said, "It's been 5 years that I have finally quit being a Muslim. I can see how my country has been destroyed. I'm sick of this war and battle. It's all because of Islam." He said, I'm sick of it. And I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "No, I'm not a Christian, but I'd like to learn more about Jesus Christ." So I was able to ask him to join my class, and he heard the gospel. So they know what's going on in Afghanistan. Obviously, they have to hide their faith sometimes, because mm-hmm. it's not easy to publicly go out and preach the gospel and witness to others. They have to do it wisely. And because even people in Afghanistan, your neighbor might kill you for being a Christian.
Right.
Your family may put you to death for being a Christian in Afghanistan. Iran is a little bit different. In Iran, if you convert to Christianity, your family will be fine because they are open-minded. But the government will kill you. But over there in Afghanistan, both government and also your own people, your own family may kill you for your conversion.
Right. Jakob, I know that you've also been seeking ways to minister to the Taliban as well. I mean, it's your desire that members of the Taliban come to faith in Christ.
Absolutely. That's one of my prayers, is that God would put me in the path of those that would like to put others to death so that I can give them life, because we bear the story of life. If we can get to them before they kill others, that puts an end to that vicious cycle as they fall to their knees in worship to Jesus. The Word of God is the power of God and the salvation, and that's what we must proclaim. We've got to we've got a wonderful opportunity to be presenting the gospel to them right now, and we have to be so careful not to waste this.
Yeah. So you have both online ministry as well as those who have boots on the ground, so to speak, in ministering in different, sometimes covert ways.
Correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. And finally, through your eyes, how can our listeners best be praying for Afghanistan at this time?
Well, definitely pray for the believers. Just like the Apostle Paul told the Philippians, it's given unto them not only to believe but to suffer. And we share this with our believers that are on the ground. They understand this. It's when a believer suffers in a way that honors God, it becomes an incredible testimony. Just like this this Hazada trusted Jesus through the faithful witness of his martyred cousin. And by the way, the word martyr and witness is the same word in the Greek. Revelations 2:13 bears that out. But we're praying that the other believers on the ground would have boldness, that even amongst our refugees who are believers, so many of them are just devastated by fear right now. We know that God doesn't give a spirit of fear. So if God's not giving that fear, that's a direct attack from Satan. God gives power, love, and sound mind. So we're praying that they would overcome their fear, reach out, and we're supplying them with $20 food bags to try to help out these families, at least for the first month. And in those bags, we've got the film King of Glory. We've got MP3 players with gospel in their language, whether that's Pashto, Urdu, Dari, various languages. So we're and then they sit down and they share the gospel with them. We've got a group of former Shiites that are doing just a phenomenal job of sharing the gospel. We've got a group of Pashtuns that are struggling, but we can get them past their fear. They do a wonderful job as well. So be in prayer that they would overcome their fear. Be in prayer that God would be drawing these Muslim men, women, and children to himself.
Jakob, thank you so much for joining us here today and echoing some of the very words that Michael's been sharing here today. You would say with all certainty, God's at work.
Oh, absolutely. He walks off this battlefield with the glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your time here today.
God bless.
And that was Jakob Kunetsov joining us here today as well with active ministry in the region. Friends, we're going to open our phone lines here today. Our number 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. We certainly learn of the very troubling issues that are going on, and we'll continue to address those on Crosstalk. But also, we need to understand the other side of the coin. God is at work, and his plan is not going to be thwarted. Our number, 800-733-9829. And just before the break, I know, Michael, you are also encouraging people to pray for the Taliban.
Yes, definitely. Talibans are just people that God created, and he loves them, and he died for Taliban on the cross, for sure. And the Bible says that for God so loved the world. So we need to pray for their salvation to
Amen.
Come to Christ.
Amen. He gave his only begotten Son. Ladies and gentlemen, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you know that invitation is open to you too, dear friend? We'll be back in 1 minute. The lines are packed here on Crosstalk. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Have you ever heard of the Council on Foreign Relations? An organization started many, many, many decades ago, and one of their goals is globalism, the destruction of national sovereignty. And one of their enemies are Christians, because Christians understand that God draws the borders of nations. God decides where you're born, and God is opposed to globalism. That's why he did what he did at the Tower of Babel, Genesis 10 and 11, and confused their language so they couldn't have a one-world government and a one-world religious and political system. Well, recently, the Council on Foreign Relations interviewed Ed Stetzer, who has supposedly all these great evangelical, Bible-believing resume points. But they used him to try to discredit, I believe, many conservative evangelical Christians. I warned about this in my book, Religious Trojan Horse and the Coming Religious Right, that Christians would be marginalized, characterized, vilified, then the vilifying would be legalized. The persecution is being set up from the right and the left.
I'm Amidst all the troubling times, God is at work. And that's our emphasis here today on the program. God's at work in Afghanistan. And if you'd like to look at the website for our guest here today, Michael Girmay, it's Besharat.tv. And that's spelled BESHARAT.tv. And then /English. That's Besharat, BESHARAT.tv /English. And friends, you can access the site and find Michael's teachings there and lots of helpful information on the ministry. Let's go to Manny in Maricopa, Arizona. Manny, you're on the air.
What do Muslims believe came before Islam? That's a question I ask a bunch of Muslims, and I've never got an answer to that.
Thank you, Manny.
Go ahead.
Well, they believe that all prophets were Muslims. Islam means surrender, and they believe that all, even Prophet Adam, they call Adam prophet. So Prophet Adam was a Muslim because he surrendered to God's will. And, well, obviously they believe that, you know, Jesus came before Islam and Moses came before Jesus. They believe that, but they believe that the true Moses and true Jesus, they were all Muslims. They served Allah.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to David next in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
I would just like to thank God for you, Jim, and thank God for Michael. I did hear Michael speak this past year, and that's the heart that we all need to have. God's not willing that any person perish, but all come to repentance. And if they come here in our country, we've got the opportunity to reach them with the gospel, because it is the power of God into salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first and everybody else. So thank you. I love you. And you go out with a friend, with Keith in the mornings.
Tell you what, David, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jeff next in Lancaster, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yeah, I have a quick question. I hear a lot of stories these days or accounts these days of Muslims coming to faith through dreams and visions. And I was just wondering, you know, what your thoughts were on that.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's a nice question. But I have had a couple friend back in Australia. I never believed that dreams are, you know, still in existence today, but I can see that God can use dreams to bring people to salvation. So this couple came to our church once, and his wife told me her story. She said that she was a Muslim. She grew up very radical Muslim, like following the Islam and praying. And then she had a friend that she grew up with. Her friend went to Germany, and she got saved. Her friend got saved in Germany, and she was calling back and telling this lady in Iran that Jesus is God, and she was so confused. And she prayed one night, as she was praying to Allah one night, and she got so angry and she was frustrated because she knew that her friend won't deceive her. There is something going on. And she prayed. She said, "Who is God? God, are you Allah or are you Jesus? I want to know the truth." And as she prayed that night, she had a dream. She saw this man, glorious, light wrapped around her, around himself. And he came to her, and she said, "Who are you?" And this man said, "I am." And she didn't know who the person was. And after 2 years, she went to Australia with her husband. And in Sydney, Australia, she was invited by a friend, a Christian friend, to go to church. She went to church to see what's going on in Christianity. Why do they call Jesus God? And she went there, and after the church service, she wanted to tell her dream to Christian friends there, and she said, "I saw this man. He told me that I am. And they all started to cry, and she said, why are you crying for? I didn't even tell you who the person was. And they said, "Well, that's Jesus. He said, before Abraham was, I am." And when she heard that clicked. She understood that Jesus answered her prayer 2 years ago back, but by hearing God's word, "Before Abraham was I am," John 8:58, she believed in Jesus, and she's following Jesus Christ right now with her husband. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Poor Charlotte, Florida. John, you're on the air.
How you doing, Michael? I want to thank Michael for his ministry, and one quick question. I want to help Michael, you know, with some kind of monetary help, but does he know of any, is there any American forces left there that are trying to evacuate any Americans or Christians out of the area?
Well, they did announce today that the last American soldier has left Afghanistan.
Last night.
Yeah.
Does he know of any covert operations that might be going on that possibly somehow somebody's left behind?
Yeah, I tell you what, that's really not his area of expertise.
Yeah, sure, but that's possible. I would say so, yes. I'm not quite sure.
Okay. So, somebody who wanted to help your ministry financially to reach, how can they do that?
They can go to my website. There is a donation that you can go through that, or Baptist World Mission is my mission board. You can go to their website and donate some money over there. Okay. Baptist World Mission.
Baptist World Mission.
Out of Alabama.
Out of Alabama. Okay. Thank you so very much. We've got Julie in Pensacola. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I have a question. How are you able to manage a safe state, stay safe through all of this and not be killed yourself? And then have you seen any of the U.S. military, during the times that you were there, being able to witness, have any of the military, have you seen Christian military being able to share the gospel too?
Well, I'm not in Afghanistan, so I don't know about military troops there being Christian or witnessing. I'm not sure, but I believe that they could be. Jesus witnesses are everywhere. They usually witness. I'm not sure about that question.
Okay, thank you, Julie. We've run out of time for more calls. I see one of the calls a person is asking, though, how do we reach Afghan refugees? Is there a way to minister to them?
Yes, actually, already there are about a couple of thousands of Afghanis have arrived in Wisconsin, and some of them will be in Texas, and some of them in Indianapolis. About 22,000, actually, Afghanis have already arrived in D.C., and they try to distribute these people in different areas. So in Wisconsin, we have about a couple of thousands are already here. But they go through screening and biometric and everything, and it's going to take time to be able to get in there and reach out to them and help them.
We're out of time. We're going to have to leave it there, friends, but don't stop the prayers. Don't stop praying for Michael. Don't stop praying for Jacob and others that are ministering. And again, the website, Besharat, BESHARAT.TV/English. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.